Peas and carrots.
Why don't I eat a funny pill before the show? I can't come up with that stuff.
This is the Citadel Cafe. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 5, recorded Wednesday, January 25th, 2012. I am Joel Duggan of StarCrossedOnline.com. To my right is Mr. Peyton Francis of CardboardTreehouse.com. Peyton, hello.
Buongiorno.
Every day or every week, it's a different greeting with you.
I'm liking it.
The pressure is on now. How many different ways can you say hello in the coming weeks?
We'll find out, I guess.
And that snicker you heard is the man on my other right, Mr. Chad Merlin. The only thing that you need to know about Chad is that you don't need to know anything about Chad, except for that he likes to bump his mic.
I was like, how did he know? But yeah, no wonder who it is. No hey, everybody. How's it going?
Welcome, sir. If you happen to be new to the Citadel Cafe, this is where me and my friends here come to hang out and talk about the geeky stuff that we have been into lately. We gravitate towards sci-fi and fantasy, but we are not myopic. We talk about anything from the movies and televisions to the podcasts, to the websites, to the internets. It's all good. So how is everybody doing so far this week?
Good, good, and good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You good?
A lot of work on your plate?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wrap up some stuff there, for a thing, and, I might be helping out another fellow there tomorrow. I got some time on my schedule. I think his name was Joel. He was looking for some help with some stuff.
Oh, so yes, God, not that guy.
I am swamped. I have been up late every night this week working. I'm happy to get this stuff done. I mean, I'm always happy to, as a freelancer, you're always happy for work. You don't want to have the opposite problem, which is, you can't pay rent because you can't find work. So I'm happy to have this flow of work. However, it's been a long time since I've had to stay up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning working and being creative and making sure I don't have to redo everything when I get up the next morning. So it's been a tiring week, but, I'm in good shape. One of those projects is finished.
And
the other one, should be wrapping up by, cross my fingers, 5 p.m. Friday is
my... You can see the sleep in your future. Is that what you're saying?
I can tell you that the best decision I made all week was the nap I had about 2 hours ago before the show.
Nice.
I'm quite happy to have sent that stuff off today at 5 and said, okay, that's one thing done. I need to take a breath. I need to recoup and bring myself back to reality, because one of the things that I'm normally on top of all this kind of stuff, but I feel like I've been a little bit lax in the last few weeks, just trying to get my schedule down. And the other thing that I had not forgot about, but I still, even after 2 years of drawing a weekly webcomic on Mondays, I forget that I usually need Sunday and Monday to draw the comic. Well, this past Sunday I did a presentation at PodCamp Halifax, which, for anybody listening, they call it an unconference, but it's just a very casual social media networking conference. And myself and the co-founder of the Dating Digital podcast, Lara Killian, gave a speech about podcasting at PodCamp. So I had to prep for that. And then PodCamp is an all-day event, so that was kind of an 8 to 4 type thing. On Sunday. And then, of course, I was so tired at the end of the day that I didn't get a chance to finish my comic. So then I had to dive into Monday to finish the comic, which takes up part of my work week, which puts you then farther behind on this heavy deadline. So I've just been kind of stressed out this week with all the work that I've been doing.
How was the turnout for PodCamp?
PodCamp was great. PodCamp was sold out. This, I believe, is the third year they've done it, or fourth. I've gone to now 3. This was my first time presenting. We had... Geez, I want to say there was 50 people in the room.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. And look, you think live podcasting on the internet is one thing. Doing a live podcast in front of a room of 50 people staring at you is completely different. So yeah. I recorded it. You guys will be able to hear it.
Were they all naked?
No. No.
Nice. Just imagine them naked.
Yeah.
There's an app for that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they were not naked. But it was a, you can tell from the intro that I'm off my game. Like, I'm just like, hi, I'm Joel. And then I gestured to Lara and I didn't say anything. I just kind of, and she's like, I'm Lara. And it's like, yeah, I could have done a better job introducing you there. Sorry. So after a while we got warmed up and the questions were really good. And I think everybody there got what they needed to out of it. We just kind of went over the basics of podcasting, how to get going. If you've like never heard of one, never done one, but you're curious about it and you wanted to see what was going on. So it went well, and we'll have the show notes for that and the actual edit from the record up soon. I have edited it. I have done the editing. I just have to do the quick outtakes and do a little bit of an intro just to explain later on. We forgot that the mic wasn't going to pick up the room very well. So the first couple of questions in our Q&A at the end, we forgot to repeat the question for the benefit of the people at the back and also for the benefit of the podcast.
Okay.
So I have to go through and listen to those first two or three questions and make sure that they're written out in the show notes. So people, if you can't hear what the person says, then at least you'll be able to kind of, I mean, you can kind of, you know, stitch it together from what our answers were, but it's always nice to hear the actual question. So what have you been up to this week, Peyton, besides, you know, obviously the work and the stuff that you were talking about?
Well, I recently went and got myself a iTunes gift card, I guess. I'm not real keen on using my credit card online and that sort of thing. So anyway, they had a Boxing Week sale where you can buy a $50 iTunes card for $30.
Oh, really?
So I picked up one of those. And one of my first purchases this week was a Star Wars game. I'm a huge fan of the old 1982 vector graphics Star Wars game where you're in a TIE fighter.
Classic.
Best game ever. Anyway, actually, as a side note, when I was back in animation college, I had an interview for, I think it was Ubisoft out of Quebec. And the guys who, they're the guys who do Splinter Cell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the two head guys who were developers on Splinter Cell were there doing presentations, and they were the guys that did the interview, and I'm not a gamer. But I ended up getting an interview anyway. And they asked what my favorite game was. I'm like, that's my favorite game. And they were totally on board with it, right? So anyway, it was kind of funny. So anyway, so I saw this game that I think Joel and I talked about a long time ago. And it's called Star Wars Arcade Falcon Gunner. And one second, I got a cough here. Back?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. The cough button works well. Okay. So anyway, I picked up the game, and it's an augmented reality game. So basically, you're in a gunner's chair, and a TIE fighter is coming at you, and then, you know, whatever else is in the background is actually your living room or whatever. And it uses a gyroscope in the game to be, if the TIE fighter's coming behind you, you actually have to turn around, or if it's flying above you, you're like with your arms in front of you, moving the iPhone or iPad directly above your head and stuff. And it's tremendous. It's basically like your imagination come to life when you were a kid. Like, this would be so awesome. You're side with your TIE fighter doing it. It's the same thing, but it's actually real, quote unquote.
Nice.
And it was funny because the other day I was standing in the living room, and my wife was laughing because I looked like I was insane. But as I was turning, a TIE fighter actually flew out of my bathroom and in down the hall and towards me. Just the way the way the timing worked, it was really quite funny. But anyway, it's the length, and it was only a $3 game, but it's tremendous fun. And my brother-in-law, if Joel knows him, but he's one of those guys who he's almost like Sheldon, but with less emotion.
With less emotion.
Yeah, like he doesn't really commit to anything, right? So we were all going to the market the other day, and he was sitting in the back seat of the car, all quiet, like scrooched in, but next to the car seat for my son there. And I'm like, Mike, you got to try this out. And I pass him the iPhone. And within like 2 minutes, he's just giggling. And he's strapped in the car seat with a seatbelt, trying to turn around to shoot behind him. And he's just laughing. And he's like, I can't turn around. And he's like all gimped up in the back seat. Anyway, it's a really, really cool game. And another game that I just saw there today that I haven't had a chance to download is from one of my other favorite movies as a kid, The Last Starfighter.
Oh, man, that brings me back. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet film. Growing up when I was a kid, we didn't have cable until like grade 7 or something. A very small town, rural Newfoundland. And anyway, part of the cable package, when it first showed up, the guy who ran it would bootleg the movie channel on the weekends.
Oh, wow.
And The Last Starfighter would come on like 2 times a weekend or something like that. We watched it all the time. So anyway, yeah. So they have a guy did a fan game, and it's basically just like the movie itself, and it's a free game, but it's a PC only download. And there's in the show notes, there's a link to the YouTube video of it, as well as where you can actually download the game itself. So anyway, those are for a non-gamer. I'm pretty excited about all this stuff. So
I got a question for you about Star Wars Arcade.
Yeah.
Falcon Gunner, have you gone into say a completely black room and then just done it like it's like a space background?
Yeah, there's a star field. I think there's an option there where you can do it without the augmented reality.
Oh, okay.
But as the game progresses though, like you'll end up in the asteroid field. So there's asteroids coming straight towards you. When you look at your radar screen, you'll see them all coming towards you, but there's also TIE fighters coming in on the side. So you got to destroy the asteroids while at the same time getting rid of the TIE fighters and interceptors, which move faster than TIE fighters, et cetera, et cetera.
So, right on. Okay.
One other side note, you see sometimes you're in a store and you'll see something and you think I should buy that, and then you don't, and then you never ever forgive yourself for not doing it.
Yes.
When I was a few years ago, anyway, I was working at a community college making some decent coin, and I had like no bills, so it was just all disposable income. And I was at a secondhand shop at St. John's, and they actually had the upright arcade version of that Star Wars game.
No way.
And it was only like $400.
Oh my God,
Pete. I didn't buy it. And I was like, son of a bitch. Because the store closed shortly thereafter. And anyway, I have no idea where it is. Someone's at the suite arcade game in their living room. Anyway. Yeah. Wow. So what's new with you, Chad?
I can't top that. No, not too much. I've had a good week at the gym this week. Frustrating times at work, so calls for taking it out on the treadmill and weights and stuff. But, today I was a couple things I wanted to talk about was what's a good workout tracking app? Joel, do you have any idea, like any ones? I've looked online in the App Store, but I really can't really hear one.
In all my years of working out, the best app that I've ever had is a notebook with a pen in it.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, I mean, even if I was a big gym person right now, I would not be bringing my phone with me. And I'd want to write down, you know, if I was doing sets and weights and certain things, I'd want to annotate that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
There's lots of stuff out there on the App Store. The problem now is that there's so much, and fitness is such a, I don't want to say fad, but it's such a hot topic for everybody that there's so many different fitness apps out there. The one that I've heard the most about is the P90X one.
I was just going to say, I've seen that, and you can track and you can download the workouts and stuff. Yeah. I'm not going to get into that.
No. And that's the thing, because that's a whole program, and you don't necessarily need a program. You just need, you know, like a note-taking something. What do I track a few things that I do around the house here. I'm just going to bring up my phone and see what it's called. It's called NoteMaster Lite. And it's not much different than the Note app on the iPhone that comes natively. But it does allow you to do like bullet points, like our show notes, and it allows you to have like hot links and different things in the notes. So, if you wanted to go that way, you might be able to use Google Docs if you wanted to track like stuff over time. I mean, like I don't go to the gym anymore, but for running, I just quickly jot down my times on my fridge, and at the end of the month, I throw it all into a spreadsheet and just kind of get a good idea of like how far, you know, like you get to the end of a month, and you're like, man, I feel kind of sluggish this month. And then you realize when you look at your spreadsheet, oh, that's because I only ran like once a week. You know, time to get on that, you know, like that kind of stuff.
After I hurt my ankle, I got it. I put it in a spreadsheet. Go ahead, Peyton.
No, put it in the spreadsheet, your ankle?
No, after I heard it, I put my workout into the spreadsheet.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, yeah. There's a couple apps I got on my phone here. One is just the Nike plus the GPS one for running.
Yeah, I have that. Yeah.
And I use that pretty often when I was running. And there's also one called iLog Fitness. Fitness. And with that one, it's a free app. And you go into it, and it's got all your body parts, all this like chest, back workouts, everything else. And when you click on that, it has like bench press, push-ups, flies, dips. And then when you go into each one, it has reps, sets, and weights.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
And then it's all just buttons. You click it with your thumb, and then you just adjust the numbers accordingly, and then go on to your next one. So it's a pretty, pretty quick thing. And so it's got workouts and it's got a calendar, weights, and I guess you can customize it some more as well. So that's kind of neat. And there's also Live Strong, which I think is from the Lance Armstrong Foundation.
It's another Nike one then.
No, actually, the Live Strong one isn't a Nike one. I don't think there's the ad-free version you would pay for, or just, you know, the free app. But that one's more for when you're eating.
Okay.
You're trying to track your calories and stuff like that. So it would tell you what your calorie limit would be or what you need to eat for the day. And then as you're eating, you just throw stuff into it and then let you know. Like if you're having an apple, it'll tell you how many carbs and sugars
that's,
and all
so
that
that's
stuff.
So that's tracking you then, okay.
It's tracking you, right? So like my wife and I, we did the gluten-free thing there back in last spring. And I lost like 50 pounds in like 4 or 5 months, something like that. And I got to the point where I was like concerned I wasn't taking in enough calories. So we started using that app for a little bit. And, you know, it seems to really help, you know, because then you, if you're not getting enough calories, you'll figure it out from there too, right? So,
right on.
Anyway, yeah, so a couple of free things. I should add those to the notes. Otherwise, Jocelyn might, you know, punch me. Excuse me.
I was going to say, yeah, I was going to put those in the show notes.
Yeah.
I picked up a powder, drink powder. It's full of electrolytes and amino acids by BioSteel, a little plug for them. Some of the hockey players were using it, and I said, why not? So it's cheaper than Gatorade, and it's got no sugar in it. So I said, why can't? Because that's the problem with Gatorade is sugar. So I started taking that, and I noticed a little bit more energy during workouts because you're supposed to take it half an hour before you go. And just as a side note, I'd bring this up. It's not really geeky, but Monday I didn't take it half an hour before my workout. And after 15 minutes on going at 11 and a half kilometers an hour. Yeah, that was my pace. I was going on 11 and a half kilometers an hour. And by the 15-minute mark, I was sucking wind through every hole I could find. I could not. I was dead. Oh, you know how that, you know how you get that first sweat starts dripping down? Like I drip at the temples, right? And then it's like that's that you start like, yeah, here it comes. And right into the workout. But you know, about 15 minutes though, I was like, this can be over at any time right now. And then I still went my 30 minutes, but it beat the crap out of me. I took it today, half an hour, like I was supposed to. It was 500 milliliters of water, put in a little scoop of the powder, shake the crap out of it, and off you go. And by the time I did the full 30 minutes, I had no issues whatsoever. I wasn't tired. It wasn't. Hmm. So if it's placebo, then I'm the prime candidate for placebo.
Are you sure you're not drinking Gelfling essence?
what did you say?
Gelfling essence. Essence. Drink her essence. Dark crystal, man. Dark crystal.
I haven't seen that movie in forever.
What was thundered and undone shall behold the two make one by Gelfling hands or else by none.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
Dark Crystal, Jim Henson's
The Dark Crystal. Chad.
Oh my goodness.
You've seen that.
Yes, years
ago. Yes, it's like only puppets. It's like did it today, it'd all be CGI, but it wouldn't be half as good because that movie was awesome.
And then they came together at the end to create. Yeah. Because the Dark Crystal.
The mystics and the, don't ruin it. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
When I was a kid, I always thought that the big crab monsters that were walking around the Skeksis halls.
Gartham?
Is that what they are? The Garthams? Yeah. They look like crabs. And I always thought they looked so cool. And it's one of the biggest letdowns when you watch it as an adult. And you're like, oh, it's a dude with a costume hanging over his shoulders, and the legs don't actually skitter. They just kind of float back and forth like a skirt, and it looks like they're running along. Like, it's like a really bad Doctor Who episode from 1973, you know? it's interesting, but it's one of my favorite films from when I was a kid. Although it's really slow. It's the only thing. It's not exactly an exciting movie. But aren't they supposed to be doing another one of those, Peyton? Are they?
There's been some talk of it, and I'm not quite sure where they stand.
Oh, why not? They might as well ruin that one too.
Yeah, there is that. There is that. Although, see this is the thing though. I think we talked about this when we all went to go see the Muppets. Is that Disney owns the Muppets, but it doesn't own the whole of Jim Henson. So Labyrinth and the Dark Crystal and the Creature Shop and what was the other part of that? The Storyteller. Yeah. All those are not under the giant Disney umbrella.
There is hope for the future.
Well, on one hand, you have to say, you know, there's hope that those things go untouched. But on the other hand, that's such a cool way to still make movies, you know, with these really cool creatures, things that are tangible. It's not CG. Like, it's a really, it's an art form, you know?
Yeah.
But without the Disney umbrella, there's a severe lack of funding, you know? So kind of have to have, it's almost like stop motion animation, Peyton. You know, like you need to have somebody that loves it to put the weight behind it to make the movie. Because right now what everybody wants is 3D and CG and all this kind of crap. I mean, not that I mean, I like it just as much as everybody else, but.
Yeah, well, there's something with the lighting that, you know, they just, they try to get, but they just can't get.
Yeah,
exactly. You know?
Agreed.
And the weight as well. But there's, speaking of the creepy animatronic stuff, there is a soap opera company that have just commissioned a animatronic baby for some of their shots. And so, you know, if they're doing like something like, you know, someone's hanging outside of a cliff or something like that, then they haven't got
to
use
the baby to move. Yeah,
exactly. Right. But anyway, they've got a video there of it, and it's without any skin. So it's just purely the armature, and the thing is writhing around, and it looks like baby movements. It's really, really disturbing. Anyway, it's worth checking out if you want to be freaked out by, you know,
oh,
a
wow.
small plastic metal baby that's, you know. Anyway. Oh, and then man. the same company also did a show the one with the skin on it, and they did one of a, I'm not sure if it was for a film or something, but it was of a premature baby that was like, you know, just this tiny little delicate thing, and it looked real, and it had like, you know, like the mucous membrane and all that stuff. It was it was really, really creepy.
Oh. That makes me, CBC.ca news in their tech and science section, that the headline, you know, like you can just see the headlines and you have to click on it to open up the story and read the whole thing. And it said, I don't know if it was engineers or whoever creates lifelike robot with lifelike facial features. So I click on it and there's the picture of, I guess, who is the leading scientist or engineer, whoever's designing this. And he's standing beside the lifelike robot. And it looks like one of the robots out of the Punch and Smash game where they.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see that? The big red face? I'm like, lifelike. Yep, sure is. Yeah.
Living that. There are some seriously creepy lifelike robots coming out of Japan. They don't really move that well, but whatever like silicone skin mold they use really makes them look like life-size people, and it's really kind of creepy. It's like, you know, like someone that you would see greeting you at some, you know, hotel in Vegas or something like that, except for they're a robot, they're not real, and they're just little Japanese what's the word for it? They're like hostesses. Like they're very happy and upbeat and always like high squeaky voices, so it has this really weird quality to it that I'm not really on board for. But while we're talking about sci-fi and fantasy and movies and stuff like that, I thought it'd be a good time to announce something that we're going to be doing here on the Citadel Cafe over the next few weeks, and that is the
Playing Hero Academy.
No, we're gonna talk about something else now.
Oh, sorry.
Something else now. Thanks, thanks though for stepping on my segue.
Sorry.
With a giant heel, Chad ends the segue.
Keep you on your toes.
Keep
you
on my toes, right. Yeah.
Segway.
Sorry, Joel, do you have a segue?
Yes, I do. Well, one of the things that we thought we would talk about is Game of Thrones. Since Game of Thrones Season 2 is debuting in approximately 10 weeks on April 1st on HBO, we wanted to watch the first season to refresh our memories. So we thought we would watch one at a time and talk about each one here on the Citadel Cafe. And I took it a step further and gave it its own little thing. So this is the Winter is Coming countdown on the Citadel Cafe. If you saw the blog post earlier today, then you know that you are encouraged to email us and tweet us your thoughts and favorite scenes, favorite characters, critiques, anything that you liked or didn't like about George R.R. Martin's book made TV series by HBO. And one of the cool things I thought we could try is a hashtag on Twitter. So if you want to contribute to the show that way, use the hashtag Winter is Coming TCC in your tweets, and that'll be a really easy way for us to find those and share them on the show with everybody. So one of the first things that I thought I would remind everybody is that I'm going to dig out my phone and open up IMDb because I'm not going to remember anybody's name.
Yeah.
Make sure I get actors' names right. I make sure I get characters' names right. I'm pretty familiar with the characters. I've moved quite along in the book, so I'm quite happy with that. So I'm not like a complete doldrum in that area. But I thought we could start off with episode one since we have all watched it. Mm-hmm. I believe it's called Winter is Coming is the title of that episode. They repeat it several times during the episode. And did you guys get a chance to watch it before the show?
I sure did.
Yeah, I watched it Monday night with my wife, who at first she was a little hesitant to get into it. And then I explained as one of the guys from the comic book stores described the Game of Thrones is like the Lord of the Rings, but all the friendship magic is replaced by sex and violence.
Yeah!
That was Dave from Strange Adventures.
Nice. Anyway. That's awesome.
Well said, Dave. Well said.
So, yeah, we were, after we watched it the last night, she was like, "You're watching it again tonight?" I'm like, no, we're watching one a week for 10 weeks, not one a day for 10 days. She's like, "Oh, I thought you're watching them every night," because she's totally hooked into it now, right?
Nice. Well,
I was watching it yesterday in preparation for today, and I had it on my chair on my laptop, and going on with my wife, who I think I can get to watch it, but we just haven't, like, she's not, like I mentioned this before, she's not overly geeky, you know, with this kind of stuff, but she was at that dining room table and she could see like through into the next room over my shoulder what I was watching, and it just so happened to be the scene where in the tower just before Bran discovers Cersei and Jaime. And you know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
There's some fun and stuff going on there, and sex, and she's like, "Oh my god, like what are you watching?" And I said what it was, and I'm doing homework. It's allowed, right?
It's homework.
So she's like, "Oh my god," and just she made a funny comment, and I said, "Well, if you think that's bad, you should come to find out they're brother and sister." What?
For anybody that doesn't know Game of Thrones and hasn't read the books, that is probably one of the biggest like slaps in the face from this series, because it happens twice in the first episode. It's not literally the same thing, but you've got Cersei and Jaime, and then you've got Daenerys and what's her older brother's name?
Oh man!
I'm looking. I can't scroll through IMDb fast enough. Oh my goodness! Viserys.
Yeah, Viserys.
Yeah. So, but they're brother and sister, and he treats her like a piece of meat too. And
well, in the books, it's even worse.
Oh
it's
yeah,
worse in the books.
Definitely
yeah.
much worse in the books. But one of the things that I really like about this series is I don't know. I feel like as long-winded as George R. R. Martin and Tolkien can be, I feel like they're still doing a good job of not getting too drawn out with it. I mean, the first episode was a little bit slow. Like, there's not a whole lot happening. Mm-hmm. But I still felt like there wasn't a lot of beat you over the head monologuing. Like, you kind of figure out who Cersei is and who's her brother and who's her family from, like, a conversation that Sansa and Arya are having while they're waiting in line to meet the king. Like, it's
Where's
really,
the imp?
Yeah, it's really subtle stuff. Like, you have got to pay attention. I remember the first time I went through this series, I was really happy that I was able to watch them without waiting a whole week sometimes between episodes, because you get in there and you're just like, wait a minute, who's who? What's that person's name again? And it's a little bit different because, I mean, I've read the books and I read them via audiobook, so I've heard the names in my head, rather than, you know how sometimes when you read a book, especially a fantasy book, and you're pronouncing something one way, and then it's pronounced a completely different way in television and film.
Yep.
So at least this way, it's all consistent. Because I mean, George R. Martin is very, you know, involved in the writing and the adaptation for the series to TV. But one of the things that I forgot about the series as a whole was how great the music is.
Mm-hmm. And especially the theme song.
Oh yeah,
get you pumped.
Oh, I got totally jazzed. Like, I was watching that opening scene with the White Walkers and the guys north of the Wall, and how visceral that is. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that this started this dark and quiet, and it wasn't at all, you know, this grand, you know, fantasy thing. It was just these guys in the woods for the first 5 minutes for the prologue, And
that was the preview. That was the teaser that we'd got months before the show came out.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, who's that Matt? Who's that low rent Matt Damon? Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. He's not coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he was a decent actor, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The that's how the book starts, too, Peyton. I mean, I know, Chad, you're familiar, but it's the same sort of idea. I think he's up a tree or something, though, in the book.
Yes,
isn't he,
Chad?
Does
he climbs the tree to look over. And then I think they go beneath him. It's been a while now since I read that. And
yeah.
He's frozen in the tree like I'm not moving anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
Because well, he really presented it in the books that on your tip of your toes, like, oh, my goodness, don't turn your head left because it's going to be there watching you. You know, like that's how he described it to you.
Mm-hmm.
The show, I mean, yeah, camera angles, you know, it's tough, but.
Yeah. One of the things that I liked about the way that they edit and cut things together is that probably for in some ways budgetary reasons, but also, you know, the mind's eye is always a little bit more descriptive than actually showing stuff right on the screen. So you know the actors would have actually been hitting something, or they would have been following through with like a sword stroke. But a lot of times it would cut either from a close-up shot to a wider shot. Or it would cut to the next scene, like just as the sword impacted, or just as a dramatic thing happened. And I thought that was very, very cool the way that they did that. The White Walkers, though, I don't remember them being so big. Did you like? Maybe it's just because they're so you don't see them that much in the first season. But it's just like I remember this. He grabs the guy by the head and he cuts. And it's the first time you get like a full top to bottom view of a White Walker, and you don't really see their face. He just kind of this big figure, but he is head and shoulders above the guy that he kills.
But I think it comes back to that, you know, who they were before and all that sort of thing.
Mm. See, I haven't even gone that far in the books. They're still kind of a creepy zombie mystery to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I like them. I like the idea of them. And I like that you kind of forget about them as the first book goes on. Like they're there, but it's not kind of like this war with the White Walkers. It's just like this creepy thing that happened at the very first pages of the book that you have to say, oh yeah, what the hell's going on there?
You combine that with the dire wolves showing up and you're like, is there a hole in the wall? What's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, I like the, I think, I'm not sure whether we mentioned it on one of the first episodes of the Citadel Cafe, but I know I've talked about it on For the Win Radio with Garrett back when we were talking about the series, because we were talking about it as it was happening.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And the cool thing that I at least what I took from the book, is that the wall is there to keep everything north of the wall north. But the overall idea of the fantasy realm is that winter is years long. Like summer, the seasons in this place, in what's it, the Seven Kingdoms? What's it called?
Yeah, Westeros.
Westeros. Thank you. They're years long. So the gist that I got of it is that as the winter progresses, the snow gets higher and higher and higher. And if there wasn't this giant wall, then things could get over the wall. And that's the whole idea, is that the Black Brothers are there to protect the wall when winter comes and everything from the north starts to try to get south because it's too cold, or the conditions allow them to then, you know, cross the wall or attempt to cross the wall and enjoy the spoils.
And I guess the brothers, would they be responsible for building the wall higher?
They were. Responsible. So
that they would do that during the summer months, I guess, would they?
Or? Yeah,
I guess
so, like the Lord Commander, well, it's made of ice, right? So like the Lord Commander, it's like a very, even though you're a part of you take the black and you're sworn to all the rules and celibacy and all that, you're still technically a lord from the south that comes up, and then you'll take command of the watch, the Night's Watch and all that. And, you know, was it Brandon the Builder, but he was a Stark. But I mean, some of them have titles, right? So some of them would build like 300 feet the entire length of the wall, and then they'd be known as, well, he built this section of the wall, because you can tell. And he really describes that in the books, right? And just in a paragraph, and you put all that together over now, what is it, six books now, I think, that they're up to that we've read? That I've read. And I mean,
say five.
Yeah, five. Six ones coming out, I think, next year. I hope it does. Oh, God. They've already got a title for it anyway. But yeah, so it keeps going. And, like, you know, the weeping wall, and they've got names for it on different occasions, and it always, the wall protects itself is another line from the book. So it's pretty cool how it comes. But yeah, but book three though, man, oh man, talk about drawn out scenes. Because right now I was bored. This is the third time I've watched episode one, and I was bored halfway through it because the plot is so thin at that moment because he hasn't established really much at all. And I'm just like, oh, get on with it, get on with it, get on with it, yeah, because well, I've gone too far ahead. That's
yeah,
all.
It's a little slow. For me, it was it's probably because I was working so much this week that I was just sitting there and I was totally enjoying the costumes and being immersed in the world and taking a really good look at the direwolf when they show it in the first episode and stuff like that. So I didn't really find it that slow. There's not a lot going on action wise, but they certainly, I mean, they don't leave you completely dry. I mean, I guess we should mention that. I mean, we'll try not to spoil too far ahead, and stick to the episode we're talking about. But at the end of this episode, hopefully you've seen it before you're listening to this. Bran, one of the small kids, gets pushed out a window, and man, oh man, like I remember when I first saw that, and again when I saw it today. That just rubs you the wrong way. Like it's
don't push
something,
kids out windows,
it's something about a 10-year-old boy being pushed out of a window. That's probably what, 50, 60 feet off the ground or more.
Yeah.
Oh man. And just so nonchalant. You're like, I'll do anything for love. Shove.
Yeah. Well, they do a really good job in the first episode, especially for, you know, someone like myself who hasn't read the books and for my wife who hasn't seen the series, to, you know, slide your toe slowly into the water. Like, you know, here's the visuals of the world. Here's the main characters you're gonna be dealing with, and then they also, you know, through some overt, some subtle ways, establish who the bad guys are, and you know, like with
like pushing the kid out a window.
You know, that definitely is a part of, you know, as well as the brother of Viserys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, first, like he's like, he's not really a nice. No, he's not a nice guy. Like, oh, okay, that's your sister. Yeah, that's not a nice guy, right? You know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so even with the and the duty boundness of the of Bean's character having to go down, and anyway.
Yeah. What was Lee's reaction, Peyton, to Bran being shoved out the window?
She didn't flinch or anything, but you know, she basically looked at me like, let's put the next episode on, because that was, you know, the cut scene. Yeah. Right? And I was like, oh, yeah. You know, well, that's yeah. So yeah. I have a feeling we're gonna be watching them before, you know, before the 10 weeks are up.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. We'll talk about them in order, just because it gives us something.
Oh, for sure.
Because I find TV right now kind of dry. I haven't really been.
I'm really looking forward to seeing her reaction to Viserys when.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you look at the episode, sorry, you look at IMBD, you see that he's only in 5 episodes. So. Yes, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing her reaction to.
Yeah. You know, well, I think that I don't have a whole lot more to say about the first episode. I mean, I forgot about all the boobage. There's a lot of sex in this. I had forgot all about that.
A brother, OA. Jamie's a hell of a brother. The thing he does for love, you know, with his sister, and at the same time his little brother, the imp, you know, Tyrion Lannister, looking after him. He knew exactly what to do. Knew his brother to a T, and that's something you got to respect about
him. I don't know, man. I think most people
he won a Golden Globe for that role, Tyrion.
No, I'm just thinking about the brother sister thing. Like, most people are still creeped out by the reveal in Star Wars that Luke and Leia are brother sister after that one little kiss. Right? So I think the mainstream grabbed onto this sort of freak a couple people out.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that Christian Wright hasn't been all over it. So,
there's definitely the potential for all that kind of stuff to go all kinds of wrong. That's for sure. That reminds me. I don't like Cersei. I mean, she's kind of a villain in the book. The Lannisters in general, you're not really in love with. Although both me and my dad really like Tyrion. Like, we both find him probably the most interesting character in the book.
He's the best character. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just the actor that plays Cersei just does a really good job of making your skin crawl.
Sarah Connor.
Yeah. Ooh. I haven't seen that show.
Didn't
Sarah Connor Chronicles? Was that what she was on? Yeah.
Yeah, she was Sarah Connor, and she was in another thing too. She was in something else. I hope maybe the commentariat here can fill us in on that. But
That reminds me, we didn't mention the chat room. Hello, chat room.
Chat room.
Hey guys.
Represent.
Yeah, we got a few people in here tonight.
Yeah.
Really happy to see everybody. Thanks for dropping by. If you're listening post live, we record on Wednesday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And you can stop by the live page on starcrossedonline.com and join the chat room. Murphy.
Oh, sorry, Joel. What was that? I'm stepping on you. You're live. Ryan? It's Ryan, right?
Yeah.
Ryan. Murphy, yeah. She was in 300. She was the queen. That was right, because she was the one that made the sacrifice to douchebag there.
Are you serious?
That was her, yeah.
Holy crap.
So she shows her boobs all the time. That's
Nice chat.
You know what? Maybe it's the blonde hair that's throwing me, because she does not... Because I remember the queen from 300. I thought she was like crazy hot, and I don't find Cersei attractive at all. maybe it's just...
Wait, you're not in the blondes.
Very funny. Trap set and avoided, sir.
Ooh,
oh boy!
At the bottom.
Moving on.
Awkward.
In other news, one of the other things that I've been trying to watch this week was
just one more thing about Cersei. She's the Hitler of that show.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
she is the Hitler and of the books. And I think a couple of people would agree with me in the chat room. She, in the books, she is the Hitler of the show by far. Anyway. Just to put a knife touch on things.
And ladies and gentlemen, Chad is 2 for 2 on the segue stomping. I didn't want to move out of movies and TV without mentioning some of the things that I was really looking forward to. And speaking of fantasy stuff, two things that are coming up that I'm excited for are the new Spartacus season that starts this Friday
on the
Starz Network. I haven't really done any research into this. I just heard it on the morning stream the other day, and I'm really looking forward to it. So I will go check to see who's in that and when it airs and all that kind of stuff. And we can maybe talk about that next week. The other thing, though, and Peyton, you will probably be on board for this. Nickelodeon has a new series coming up called The Legend of Korra, and it's based on the Last Airbender series. And
a thousand years in the future or something like
that. Oh my God. The vistas. I mean, like really, we'll put the trailer in the show notes. The YouTube link is already there for you, Jocelyn. But the trailer is incredible, and it really kind of like blows you away with all these great big vistas and sucks you into the world. And then they start doing kung fu, and I just lost my mind. It looks so good. So good. It looks like a cross between, like a Batman short movie and the Airbender. Like it really kind of has that superhero feel to it. So I'm really looking forward to it. Chad, have you watched The Last Airbender, the animated series?
No, I did not. I didn't watch the movie that M. Night made.
Oh, don't do that. Don't watch that movie. No, okay. What you need to do, it's on Netflix, or at least it was the last time I was checking Netflix streaming in Canada. You can watch The Last Airbender series from Nickelodeon. So they're little half an hour cartoons.
Okay.
But it is really high quality animation. It's storyboarded and written in America and then animated, I want to say, in South Korea. I could be wrong on that. So it's not overdubbed. They're speaking English. So it's one of the problems I always have with anime is that their mouths just kind of have two mouth shapes, open and shut, and then really wide open. And that's it.
Like Astro Boy.
Yes. Yeah. So because they were just, it was done for a different language, and then they just overdub it with English. But this is all the actors are English, or at least they speak English in the series, and it's so good. And it's basically like, what would you say, Peyton? It's like a combination of The Force meets Kung Fu meets witchcraft. Like just if you're not familiar at all, Chad, it's different forms of bending are a way of controlling air, water, fire, and earth.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. And they're all linked to different styles of martial arts. So fire is like Shaolin Kung Fu. Earth bending is something else. I can't remember what it's called. Water is Tai Chi. And air bending is something else that's very monk-like. But it's all really, really cool stuff. And it's a show that's both... funny, action-packed, and has an overarching storyline. Like, it's not just these little half-an-hour episodes with a moral. Like, the thing is 3 seasons long, and it's one giant story, so it really kind of keeps you compelled. So I'm really looking forward to it.
And fans of it are, like, die-hard fans too, right?
Yeah, no, it was so good.
Yeah, when the movie came out, there's a great interview where they had a bunch of the fans coming out of the first showing, and they were like in full garb. They had their heads, hair shaved in the same Arrow fashion as the Airbender and, you know, everything else. And they were just like, garbage. I can't believe I shaved my head for this. Like, they were just losing their minds. They were so angry, right?
Yeah, well, it's M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong or whatever his name is.
Hey, and, oh. I like his movies. Don't make fun of him. Maybe that was his bad one. I didn't see it. That's the only movie I've never seen of his. I love his movies.
Chat room, you can judge Chad now.
I love those movies.
I liked Unbreakable, but that was it.
That's good. I like the Village. I like that one. Breakable was good. Sixth Sense. I don't own the Sixth Sense. And The Happening, I liked the idea of The Happening. It was a little forced, I think, because they gave him a little too much. Most of the time, the studios keep him in check. They seem to keep him in check, but they gave him a lot more pull with The Happening, and it kind of took it.
It's like Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, whoa. Yeah. I don't know if it was that bad, but
down the rabbit hole we go.
M. Night did a really good job with that remake of Miracle on 34th Street, though.
I didn't.
No, that wasn't him. Never mind.
I was like, what? I fell for that one.
I'm so sorry.
Totally fell for that one.
I was like, what kind of twist we have at the end of it, right?
Yeah. Oh boy, right on. Anyway. So what have you guys been watching this week besides the Game of Thrones?
You go ahead, Chad.
Okay, yeah, I watched, finished The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Ooh.
Yeah, I finished that with my wife. You know, it's nice. And you know what? You know, I haven't watched it in a while, but it was nice to watch it again and come through again. Like I've said, the last three times we've watched the last three episodes of this. But yeah, it was good. I still, every time the horn sounds and the Rohirrim shows up on the hill and just before the charge. And the King Theoden does the speech, and he's wrapping all their spears with the sword, and you
ride
know,
now,
ride, yeah, and then yeah, and the three cheers, and just as the third cheer goes up, and you see Pippin and Eowyn, and when you see the two of them, and they scream, and that's a little weird, but the the music of the Rohirrim, the violin, da 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 da. Oh man, every time, goosebumps, every time, you know, and they charge through, you know, against all odds. Oh jeez, love that scene.
That's a great scene. I really like the Two Towers and I really like Helm's Deep, but the Battle of Minas Tirith there at the end is so good.
Yeah the sieges, they really did, they knew what they were doing with that. They really great, I think.
I'm testing my Lord of the Rings knowledge here. Is that Pelennor? Is that the Plains of Pelennor? Is that what that
Pelennor
is?
Fields?
Yeah. Fields. Yeah. Pelennor Fields. Yeah.
Pelennor Fields. Yeah.
If I ever were to try to play around with like After Effects or whatever, I've always wanted to take this couple of the scenes from Empire where the snow speeders are tearing down the AT-ATs and have those snow speeders fly around the Mummikills and take one of those down. I think it would be brilliant.
Yeah. Bring it down.
And then, you know, you got Luke fly by, tail gunner, and it'd be really funny to watch.
Watching tauntauns go by, and the orcs are like, "What the crap?"
Stick it in through it, right?
Yeah. No, it's that scene. That scene, you know, where there's the AT-AT, or they're showing a scene where Luke's on the ground or something, and he looks up. And the AT-ST goes by in the distance. You got to throw that in, like out of nowhere, an AT-ST goes by, and you're like, "What? They didn't." You can't see an AT-ST anywhere else in these wide-angle shots. And then there's focused on Luke and off in the background. I remember as a kid going, "What?"
Well, one of my favorite parts of the Lord of the Rings, though, like those big battles, is always when you do the big wide shots. There's you always have like the little people, the little bodies just falling through the air.
Oh, and they're like, hitting stuff.
Yeah, when you blow up the wall and Helm's Deep, or even when they're, you know, the wing rays like are flying down through the city and they're throwing people
off,
dropping them and stuff. It's just this is brilliant, right?
You know, it reminds me of this one scene that I really enjoyed from Titanic. Did we lose Chad?
No, sorry. Hello? Hello, Chad? Oh, maybe we lost Chad.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that. I wanted to preempt him.
Oh. Yeah. Are you back? Was there a big lag? Sorry, folks. Yeah, we're having some technical difficulty.
It stopped, and I was like, hello.
Oh, okay.
Came right back.
Currently, the call, 56 minutes. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I know where to come back and edit this. So there's one scene from Titanic where people are falling off the ship as it's vertical before it
and the spinner?
The guy hits the propeller, and it's just like, wham! Oh. Yeah. It's like this harrowing emotional moment in this movie, and I just lose my mind laughing. The cartoonist in me just completely takes over. And I'm in this theater going, like, what was that?
But you know what though too, like, not the fact that the ship is sinking and the water is frigid, like you're gonna die within 5 minutes. You hit the propeller on the Titanic, like that's a pretty crappy day.
Yeah. Yeah. Aren't they releasing that in 3D now?
Yeah. Oh, King of the
dear
World.
Dear God, really?
King of the world in 3D. I'm the king of the world.
There's only one scene in that whole movie that I'd actually want to see in 3D.
Is that her hand on a steamy window?
Where she rocked his world? She rocked his world in that scene.
Draw me, Jack. Draw me like you've never drawn anyone before.
Jesus.
Scratchy.
I don't know if it's a little weird that it was actually James Cameron that drew her in that scene.
Yeah, no, I knew that. Yeah, I don't know.
He did a great job with Piranha 2.
Oh, jeez.
He made Piranha 2?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
I'm pretty sure.
Shattering Chad's world. You can hear the cracking right now.
I'm thinking, okay, Titanic was a well-made movie. Like, just all the little points were taken care of on the details, right? And same with Aliens and Terminator 2 and... Like, James Cameron puts detail in, but you're saying he made Piranha 2.
I'm pretty sure.
You're doing that just to mess with me, aren't
no,
you?
No.
I'm going to IMDb right now.
Yeah, when in doubt, defer to the hive mind of the chat room.
I think he actually, it may not be in IMDb. He may disavow any knowledge of it.
It's funny. I say the hive mind of the chat room, but we're putting the pressure on them because there's only, six people in there? And three of them are us. So seven. No, there's seven people.
Then besides LOTR, I watched Avatar Extended Edition. He did make too. I just found it in 1981. Oh my God. You know what? Peter Jackson made some pretty shitty movies before he made
that's
Lord
true
of the
too.
Rings, so, okay.
Well, The Frighteners was good.
I didn't see The Frighteners.
No, me either.
The Frighteners, Michael J. Fox. It wasn't great, but you could see his the experimenting with the wraiths and all that stuff with the ghosts. Anyway.
Okay, so I watched Avatar this week, an extended edition, and I wanted to touch on this. The director's cuts are always better. I like Aliens. I'll take Aliens for an example. The extra 20 minutes they put in adds a huge dynamic to that movie. Like Ripley has a child. What? Okay. The guns, the sentry guns they put in the hallways, four of them. Like totally works in the movie. Extra little scenes. How the alien actually got into the colony. All in the director's cut. Makes so much sense. But you watch the original, hey, it was a great movie. It still stands up. But then you put in the director's cuts and you're like, it makes the movie so much better. Why didn't they put it in the original? I'll never understand. Avatar, a few things at the beginning kind of gave you a little what Earth is actually like, his brother and all that stuff. A little touches a little more on that. Something you can use. I mean, it's a 3.5-hour movie anyway, isn't it? Like, who cares what another 20 minutes does by that point?
I think the big difference, especially with older movies, is a budgetary thing. When you're shooting digital, there's no physical...
Yeah.
There's not as much of a physical cost. Like, when you think about shooting Aliens, then you have to distribute this film. It's a physical thing that has to be made and sent out to movie theaters. And, you know, when you think about how many copies of it there are,
yeah, so taking into account optical printing and things
like
that.
Yeah,
all that
stuff. Like, there's probably a budgetary reason there. Not to mention that back then, there wasn't a lot of CG stuff. So you're talking about animatronics and puppets and stuff like that. And then you have to like, oh, this would be a great scene. But if we make this scene, we then have to build everything. And
yeah.
I mean, now I know it'll get made. I know it ends up being cut. But like, there's still finishing and lighting and post-production that has to happen and that kind of stuff. That would be one reason. But the other thing is I think that it's taken Hollywood a little while to get people to go to the theaters for more than 90 minutes.
It did. Yeah, you're right.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm just agreeing with you.
Yeah, no, I think for me, 3 hours in a movie theater is too long.
Depends on the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down with two and a bit. But a lot of movies that are 2 minutes or 2 hours and 2 minutes, yeah. A lot of movies that are 2 hours long or more, I find that a lot of the ones these days, they don't have to be. Where there's, I'll use Transformers 3 as an example. I know it's not a great movie, but there is easily 20 minutes of plot in there that can be completely cut out of that movie. And I could have been in and out of that theater in 2 hours and it would have been great. Not, you know, like, and the same with the second one. Like there's certain amount of stuff in there that just doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. Exactly.
But really, you talk about a bad day. Like, you know, Ripley goes from, you know, working on a ship, mm-hmm. have an alien come on board. Everybody yep. gets killed. She gets herself cryogenically frozen, wakes up, has to go back and do it all over again, escapes from that, and then her plane crashes, and then she, you know.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
And then she gets, you know, cloned. I mean, it's a shit show start to finish for her. That's a bad week.
Which, yeah. you know.
That's basically a week in her actual waking life, right? So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, Chad, though. I think that the director's cuts are always better. I mean, the Lord of the Rings, case in point, I don't remember what the theatrical releases were. I've watched the extended cuts so often. Same with Avatar. I agree and think that the extended scenes actually add stuff to the movie.
Yeah. LOTR, when Return of the King, when Gandalf busts in, when the steward is going to burn him and his son, Faramir.
Yep.
And he picks up the soldier's spear and rides forward and knocks the steward around. Well, why didn't he use his staff? Huh. Because when we see the extended version, the Wraith King.
Had destroyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, "What, you know, wizard, you know," and then he went at him, and
that wasn't in the theatrical.
No, it wasn't. That was only in the extended scenes, because I know that because I bought the theatrical versions originally when they came out, and I could say that any of our listeners can refer to episode four of the Citadel Cafe.
And any teasing is now retracted. Thank you very much, Chad, for making that purchase.
And Joel too, I'm sure.
Yes.
So that scene, but I think and it's all thrown around, right? So that when, and well, actually, on the extended version, if you go to the scene selection part on the Blu-ray, it'll show you the little asterisks by the scenes that are extended or actually completely new for the extended edition. So that if you really wanted to go in and see what they added, if you had that kind of time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, I guess. Peyton, that leaves you. What else have you been watching outside of the regular stuff that we've been talking about?
Yeah, just a couple little quick little clips. I saw one today that actually I handed off to you guys this morning. If you come on to Walking Dead with Growing Pains, you get a whole bunch of awesome. It is wicked. You'll never. I think the best way to use that video appropriately would be to help to get your mother or mother-in-law to watch the series.
Or my wife. Or my
Show
wife.
Show me that smile, right? Like, it's pretty funny stuff. So it makes it look very, very family-friendly, you know.
Except for the
zombie. I haven't seen the scene with the well zombie yet, but I'm looking forward to checking that one out, actually.
Yeah, you know what, Peyton? There was a lot of stuff of the very last episode in that actual snippet there. So I'm like, well, it's not like it really ruined much, but there was quite a few scenes from the last episode.
Yeah, that was hilarious. That made my day. That was the funniest thing I saw all day today.
Good way to start the day. And another news, the other thing I saw was posted finally is something that's been floating around the web for the past couple of years. It's Star Wars Uncut. And it's a website where they've taken the entire Star Wars New Hope and broken it down to 15-second clips. And then they put it out there for fans of the film to come in and redo that clip shot for shot. And you pick any clip you wanted to and do it in any style you want. And then they reassemble the entire movie as Star Wars Uncut. And some of it has, you know, just a couple kids, you know, maybe, you know, someone's just filming their kids doing something. And then the other people, like the scene with the trash compactor, there's one part where they have like three people in a shower, right? And there's a guy crawling along the floor and stuff like that. It's really quite funny. Anyway, one of our old coworkers, Matthew Shepard, who now, most recent film, I think, was working on The Smurfs. Anyway, he's in BC now, but you know, he did a small clip in it, and it's linked in the show notes. He also has a website, which he's done well with some of the competitions he's entered. There's one called the 11 Second Club, where they take 11 seconds of an audio clip, and then you have a month to animate it. And I mean, he's won a few of those, and you know, sometimes you get 300 to 400 people entering those competitions. Anyway, it's worth checking out. And so, StarWarsUncut.com. is in the show notes, and then there's also his particular scene as well as his websites there as well. So cool. Yeah, so that's about it for the stuff that I've been sort of perusing, watching, whatnot. So, and Joel, what's new with you? Well, the stuff there?
Well, I just, like I said, I've just been looking at previews. I really haven't had time to watch anything except for I did catch up on How I Met Your Mother and The Big Bang Theory. I was two episodes behind on each of those. So last, I want to say Friday night, I guess, I ordered a pizza and had those episodes queued up and sat in front of my TV and checked out all those. And I have to say, I think I might be done with How I Met Your Mother. I really feel like they're forcing the comedy in that show. It's not funny. It's like your friend that tries too hard. And one of the episodes...
we forgive you, Chad. Sorry.
Yeah.
I should have kept my mouth shut. I saw that coming, and I kept talking.
yeah, it's the one in particular about How I Met Your Mother was the one that focused on Barney as like the new group leader, and I was just—I mean, the one funny part about that was that they redid the intro music for like the 20-second intro, and it's all about Barney, and like he's humming it, and he's in it, he's in every picture, like that. I thought was kind of funny, but everything else about the show was kind of like whatever. On the flip side, The Big Bang Theory is just getting funnier. Like, I haven't laughed that hard since, well, let me see, the last time I watched The Big Bang Theory when I was rewatching the earlier seasons. The last few episodes of that show have just been hilarious. And I can't remember her name, but it's the girl that plays Amy, Sheldon's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Blossom. I can't remember her actual name right now. Not to mention that I can't pronounce
it. Maya Bialik.
Yes. Her reaction to a gift last week, I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. It was so well done. So completely caught me off guard.
Got busting funny.
Yes.
Yeah, she was in an episode of What Not to Wear.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, before she got on the show.
No way.
Right on. All right, well, I guess we can move on to some light reading, if everybody's on board for that. Peyton, I want to start with you.
I'm on this on the same Joel Murray book, character animation and that, and it's coming along. Again, you know, stuff going on. You know, you read it at night, that sort of thing. I'll probably get a couple pages in and fall asleep, whatnot. But I saw today on Cartoon Brew that Joel Murray, for anyone who has listened to previous shows, he's the guy that did Rocko's So-Called Life, or Rocko's Modern Life, as well as Camp. What is the name of
Laszlo, it? Laszlo, wasn't it?
Camp Laszlo, thank you. Yeah, and he also has his own TV station online, essentially, and he called Kaboing TV, and he had raised funds to start it using Kickstarter, the crowdsource funding website in the States there, and he raised over $20,000 from Kickstarter to get the website up and running back in June 2010, and apparently it's been failing to get traction with viewers and that, and the numbers keep dropping, so it looks like it might be coming to an end. So if you you're looking for some nice independent animation worth checking out and trying to support something, KaboingTV.com could be worth checking out.
Yeah, and I don't I'm surprised that that's not working. I mean, I'm wondering, I mean, maybe it's because he did a separate site. Like, maybe he should have tried it out with like a YouTube channel, or tried some original content for Netflix or something. But yeah, the other thing about it too is that things like podcasts seem to be doing well for themselves, like video podcasts and stuff like that, by being released under the Creative Commons licenses. Like they don't charge for them, but he doesn't charge for the site, does he?
No, I don't think so. And he's, you know, he's been posting other people's work as well. And but again, it's maybe just a little late coming to the game, trying to come in with your own website that people would come to for that. You know, you've got Vimeo, you've got, YouTube and everything else.
And you know what else, though? Kids don't watch TV on the internet. Adults do, but kids don't.
You know, and his episodes, you know, they're not crazy long. You know, like he has this one series with a frog and that, you know, and they are quite funny. But again, it is following a bit of the TV model from the past and that. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, just not getting the traction it needs. You know, you got other stuff like the, what's the cat one? Simon's Cat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he's got, you know, millions and millions and millions of views. And, you know, now he's selling other things to help, you know, merchandise. And, you know,
and that's, that's like the netcast model, I think, is probably the best one to follow. If you wanted to try to make money online with animation, especially if you wanted to do any kind of like quality content for either adults or kids, as far as cartoons are going, I would say that you'd have to go the route of Simon's Cat. Or I like the idea that Netflix is going to be producing some original content. And Netflix is great for kids. I mean, anybody that I know that I listen to on a podcast that has school-aged children that would watch a lot of kind of like after-school cartoons sort of thing, they love it because there's no commercials and they can control what the kids watch. And the content, especially in the U.S., it's not quite as robust in Canada, but the content in the U.S. is just incredible for kids programming, you know? What did I see the other day? Rango and Overmind? No. Megamind.
Megamind, yeah.
Those two movies are both up there. Yeah. And those are huge, huge blockbuster movies from DreamWorks. Were they
not? NetWorks. Rango wasn't DreamWorks.
No, Rango was something else. Was that Sony? No.
Maybe. Nickelodeon, I think.
Really?
I think.
Rango was good.
Yeah, Rango was really quite good. I really enjoyed that film. And Netflix actually just signed a deal with DreamWorks. So there'll be more stuff coming in the future. So I think it'll be a large delay between the DVD release and all that stuff before it's on Netflix. But it'll be on there eventually. So.
But you know what you can't do on Netflix? Read. So it's funny how we all fall back into like we're just talking about what we're watching again. It's like I want to talk about books. No, I'm
Is that a segue again?
No, it wasn't. That was me stepping on my own segue, actually. No. I took us there. I know that I took us there. It's all my fault. But I
beat your head against the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean we'll mention that Chad is reading the same thing as last week, so he doesn't have anything new to talk about. But I, however, I've recently discovered. Yeah, well, I figured, you know, step on me, I'll step on your back. I've discovered that I can, depending on what type of drawing I'm doing, I can actually listen to audiobooks now while I draw. Before, it was always podcasts, because I found like my imagination would be kind of visualizing what's happening in the audiobook, and I wouldn't be able to then create something on the page at the same time. But what I've been doing this week has been a lot of vector tracing and layout stuff of drawings that I've already done. So it's basically just kind of like coloring, for the lack of a better term. So I've been listening to, so I powered through, I'm almost finished the Clash of Kings now. And one of the things that I'm starting to find kind of annoying about this book, now I don't know, having not read the print version, I don't know whether this is actually Martin's language word for word, or whether it's just Roy Dotrice reading the book and adding some embellishments on his own part, but the repetition is starting to get on my nerves. Like whenever a raven repeats something, or whenever a character is in a dream or something that's supposed to be horrific, something that's supposed to be upsetting, and it doesn't upset me. It just annoys the crap out of me when there's phantoms in the room and they're saying, "Come with us." And come with us. I mean, you could say that, and they droned on repeatedly. Like, that would get the message to me that they're constantly saying this. Instead, Roy Dotrice just repeats it over and 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 over. Like, it's
over?
Yeah, and over again. And it takes me out of whatever I'm I'm into. Like I'm in Westeros, or I'm in, you know, the, I'm across the narrow sea and I'm doing all these cool things. And then I'm just like, man, this is really freaking annoying. And I find it really kind of takes me out of that. So Chad, is the language in the book the same way? Like, do they repeat things like 7-8 times?
Some things, yeah, like corn. But you know what though? I've come to kind of analyze, like come to see that in the print, and I just skim it. I look for keywords. Oh, it's still the talking about the type of voice being used or the words being said. I can go through that and not miss anything out of the book. I've learned to read like that, I guess, over
the
years.
I mean, that's the problem with the audiobooks is that you have to deal with stuff like that. Everything else, of course, is fine. I mean, like I'm really back into the audiobook now. I'm listening while I'm having dinner breaks, or I'm listening while I'm drawing, and I'm excited to see what's happening next, because as per usual, my favorite storyline is Jon Snow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because everything else is still kind of dull. But although I have to say, I'm not a fan of the way that Martin jumps around. Little bit might be the fault of the audiobook. Like there's a little bit of a glitch.
Each chapter goes like he leaves. Sometimes he leaves you hanging. Other times he explains everything.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, like, whenever something really important happens, he tends to beat it to death. Like, you know, the sound the sword made when it went through someone's spine when they die, and I actually ruined something for myself. I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to spoil it for anybody reading. But there was something that had happened. And it was glazed over. It was like how the Lord of the Rings ended. It's like, and they won, and then they went home. Like, that's how the book is. It's just like, you know,
it's not the first time, and it's not going to be the last time.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I'm waiting till next year on something. I'm hanging on something right now for how the last book ends.
Yeah. This important event happened, and I was like, wait a minute. They're all talking. They're all talking like this happened, but he didn't tell it. Anything about it. He didn't explain it. So like, this can't be right. So I looked it up. And I was like, did I miss something? Like, I'm thinking like maybe...
Did this person die?
Yeah, exactly. And then I go and I actually ended up ruining a plot point for myself. I was like, damn it. I kind of figured that there was something up and I should have just whatever and finished the book. I'm sure he probably would have come around to it. I mean, I even went just the simple way of just looking on iTunes and looking at the audiobook files. And each chapter, of course, is the name of a different character. So I skimmed ahead on just the chapter names just to see if that character's name came up again, which of course it didn't. So I was like, damn it. So I went onto some Wikipedia article and I was trying to read just enough, and I ended up reading too far and spoiling what probably would have been a cool surprise had I been listening to it.
You broke your own advice, Joel.
I know.
You gave this advice to our listeners a couple weeks ago. I know. Maybe a couple months ago.
2 o'clock in the morning. I take no responsibility for any online decisions made at that time. So yeah, it was not the smartest thing. But I know now. I know now that he'll do that kind of stuff. So I'll avoid it and I'll enjoy the rest of the story. So the other thing that I downloaded, but I haven't actually had a chance to read yet, is The Flinch by Julian Smith. It was free for a few days over the weekend. Julian Smith was the keynote speaker at PodCamp Halifax, and he's Canadian, one of the first Canadian podcasters. I didn't realize that going in to the keynote. Really, really cool guy. Great to talk to. Has what I feel like is a pretty good handle on how web and social media is affecting marketing and our lives and stuff like that. And his book, which I haven't started, is something that I'm really looking forward to reading, having heard him speak for an hour on Sunday. He kind of just, I don't know what you'd call him. It's nonfiction, so it's basically just him talking about the people that succeed are the people that learn how to handle the flinch, which he used a boxing metaphor. You know, okay. Someone throws a punch at you, you flinch. It's just your eyeballs and your brain take over and you flinch. That's what just happens. So the people that learn how to deal with that and then react to that in boxing are the people that are good boxers and go farther than the people that can't overcome that kind of body mechanic. And I'm not saying that they don't flinch, but they learn how to adapt with it. And he's talking about like the ever-changing online world, how small businesses have to be on their toes all the time. He was comparing bodybuilders to parkour guys and saying like, yeah, okay, you know what? This bodybuilder can do curls and he can do them really, really well. Probably better than any of the other examples I'm going to tell you. However, this parkour guy can do just about anything he wants. He's probably one of the most fit people on the planet. I don't remember that guy's name, but he was using some top athletes as examples. And it really, and it made a lot of sense. You know, like as a small business, you've got to be flexible. You don't necessarily want to be a jack of all trades, but you have to be able to flex between the current in the current business environment to get by. So, Peyton, I'm seeing that you're throwing some stuff in the show notes. Is it still free right now?
Yeah, it's still free right now.
Oh, sweet.
And yeah, so I'll just throw that in the chat room as well. Yeah. So here's a link in the chat room for anyone who's interested.
Nice.
And
cool. Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that. The the thing that I'm looking forward to as well is that it's also my first experience in the Amazon app on the iPhone. So I'm curious to see how reading on the phone is going to be. I haven't actually done that yet.
Yeah, my concern with it, with the downloading of it, is the only way you can download it is by going through with the one-click method that Amazon has.
No, you can't. No, you can do it the other way.
I couldn't find any other way on the site in order to just click on it.
Well, I thought about that when I was browsing on the phone, because I went online on the browser on my desktop to Amazon, trying to get it that way. But I mean, again, this is my first time trying to get an Amazon ebook onto my phone, so I thought, well, maybe I'll just try to do it on the phone. So I went through on the browser on the phone through Safari, and the mobile app for Safari for buying books, it really only gives you the one click. But Chad, didn't you say that's the one place that you do have the one click is for your books?
I did, but
on your phone.
The first time I did it, I went through my computer and it says, which device do you want to send it to? Because I have the Kindle app on my laptop as well, but I don't use it. I just tried it out one time and I didn't like it. But it says, which platform would you like to send this book to? And, you know, obviously my iPhone. So, but I went through and I did the whole Amazon, like, credit card number thing and did all that. And then I was on my phone, and then that's when it says, do you just want to do the one click? And I said, yes, because it was so much easier, because it's not easy. That screen is not big enough, and you know the Amazon screen's got buttons down far on the bottom and up top, and you got to scroll down. You don't want to miss anything because you're paying for it and stuff. So I like the Kindle app for reading, but I think the iPhone iBook app is all around a better reading app because you go into the library right in the app, buy the book through your iTunes account, and it downloads into your library on the iBook. You don't have to leave the app. With the Kindle app, you do have to leave it to buy the book. And I don't like that.
That's what you're trying to explain to me. I think we had like a text conversation or something like that.
Hard to follow.
Speaking of iBooks, I'm excited to look at the new iBooks author app that I downloaded for Mac. Chad, did you see the keynote? Peyton, I know that you saw at least the sample video.
Yeah.
Chad, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. That it was actually mentioned on the Facebook feed for the iTunes App Store as well, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And I saw that, and I quickly perused it, but I realized that I'm not an author, so it's one of those things that I have no real use for, so I kind of just pushed it aside.
Well, you should check out, especially with your Apple TV, go find Apple Keynotes on the podcasting section and add that to your favorites and watch the keynote from last Thursday. It's only about 55 minutes, and it is worth checking out. Basically, iTunes and Apple are changing the way that they want to see publishing in the textbook world and how students K-12 are learning, as well as post-secondary. And it is multimedia. It's a really rich environment. It's a really cool way to go through textbooks. I'm kind of jealous of the students that are coming up into kindergarten through 12 in the next few years. And what they're going to be using in school. I mean, I probably would have been a lot more engaged in my classes and stuff like that had I had an iPad in front of me with, like, you know, movies and animations of, like, a cell dividing and, like, all this kind of cool stuff that we used to have to, you know, turn the lights off and watch a VCR with a TV, and then the teacher had to make sure that it was free for the day. And oh my God, what a
blackboard!
VCR. I remember the old reel-to-reel projector.
Yes, I do too. Primary grade one. Yep.
Yeah. No. Sure. Exactly. So anyway, this iTunes author app is it's just a really seamless way of allowing creators to put together their book. And man, as someone who wants to put out a book this year, and needs to consider ebooks as an avenue, I'm really excited because not only could I put comics in there, but I could also then right next to the comic put, you know, an audio track of me talking about the comic. I could put a video of me drawing the comic. I could put some behind the scenes sketches that you could flip through. I could show you the different stages of a comic. Like, I could do so much and add value that you cannot do in a print book. I can still do a print book and I can still offer that kind of experience, but I could do something completely different with this. And I'm really stoked about it because the app is free. And the only caveat is that if you are posting an EPUB 3 format book to being produced with iTunes Author, you have to sell it in the iTunes store or the iBook store. Sorry. That's if you're charging for it. If it's a free thing, then you can publish it on your website and make it available there. You can put it up on Amazon for free. Like, you can put it wherever the hell you want for free. But if you're charging for it, Apple wants to have that kind of control. Now, some people are throwing their arms up and saying that that's not the best way to do it. And I kind of flip-flop. But being pigeonholed into an iPad community, that's not a small community. There's an absolute ton of content.
They just posted their biggest quarter ever.
Ever. They made more in the last quarter than they did in the whole of 2009.
What's their... They're making more than their cash on hand now is more than the U.S. government, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been like that for a little while now. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane. So I'm really curious to see what I could be doing. And actually, one of the points that Julian Smith made in his keynote was like, there is no opportunity like right now to have a voice and be heard with social media and YouTube and Kickstarter and all the different things that you can do. And I have been screaming this week that I've been so busy with work that I haven't been able to put something super, super quick together and post it up on iTunes bookstore for free. Like, I could put together my favorite 12 comics, do some audio commentary, make it look attractive, put it up there for free. I give the comic away for free on the website anyway. Like, I don't care, you know, about that kind of stuff. But just the amount of people that are talking about iBooks right now, that are downloading stuff and looking through that store, if I had something on there, it would be insane. I mean, the blog post that Smith made on his site about his book is like, oh, well, my book does really well. I'm a New York best-selling author, and I get, you know, 15,000 hits a month or something like that. He puts his book up for free, and he gets 75,000 views, you know? And he doesn't do it for a long period of time. He's like, oh, for the next 3 days, it's free. Done. Yeah. You know, throw that up on Twitter, throw that up on Facebook, see how many people do it. He does it as an experiment, you know, to see how much more attention he can get. I can imagine that his book sales post the 3 free days are probably higher than leading up to it.
That's right.
You know? So I can't wait to just get these deadlines out the door so I can mess around with iBooks. I mean, I'm stoked about it.
I think one of the reasons that the Apple probably approached this from the point of view of marketing it as a textbook creator is that with regards to copyright, you can pretty much use anything you want as long as it's for educational purposes.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right. So if you know, that way you're not going to get you may get people who are, you know, going around and grab stuff off of blogs and putting a compilation book together, an art of book or something like that, or a certain style. And then trying to sell it off as a legitimate, you know, legitimate book or whatever. But, you know, if it's done in the guise of education, then, you know, legally they can't come back on Apple saying you're providing this way for people to, you know, just do their own piracy or whatever, right?
I mean, and that brings up a good point, Peyton. I mean, like, I could easily put a book together, collect some of my favorite comics and put it out there and try to charge for it. One of the stipulations in the Apple terms of agreement, though, is that Apple basically has the sole authority on what gets published and what doesn't. So if they review your book and they feel like there's too much content that's not yours, they just don't allow it in the store.
They may go ahead and just post it, and then if because, you know, they take a cut anyway, but they could just post his book, and if they get one complaint from someone saying like he doesn't have permission to do that, your book's gone.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, you can all, I mean, the difference is that, I mean, if you weren't pretending that it's yours, I mean, if I was taking a bunch of my favorite artists and putting them all together in a book, but then I was writing why I like it, why this guy is so good, here's all the cool things that he's doing, here's where to find his work, you know, all that kind of stuff. That would be, I mean, that's no different than the textbooks that I got from fine art classes when I was at Mount A. And that would have a serious value to it.
But if you're not paying paying the artist usage rights for that, then that's when the issue would come into play, right? Like a couple of years ago, there was a book that was floating around. I think it was a post on drawn.ca about it and a couple other websites where a company had gone through like it was a 300 page book and had like 90 something or 100 something artists in there. And what this person had done, or these people had done, they went across the web, grabbed stuff off of blogs, interviews off of blogs, everything, and did this big art of book sort of thing. And it was this beautiful big coffee table style book with a fake ISBN number and everything. And then the artist was like, have you seen this? And they were taking like low res 72 DPI pictures from blogs and posting in the posters. So the stuff looked like crap for the most, like a lot of stuff looked like crap, but they had no permission to do any of it. And then when they tried to contact these people, like, you know, there was actually no one to contact because the ISBN number was fake. The all the contact information was fake. Geez. And because it spanned so many different borders for copyright infringement, no one knew where to start. Yeah. Like, you know, you have people from Italy and France and England and States and Canada, all these different artists who basically had their work stolen for this book that was, you know, going for a couple hundred bucks. Anyway, so I guess if they, you know, if this sort of thing happens on the, with this sort of iBook creator, then you know, I'm sure one complaint from any artist, and they're like, okay, click, done.
Yeah.
And then who knows? You know, if there's an update for a book like that, if a book been pulled, and then there's an update, and you're, that could be a good way for them just to wipe the book out completely as well, right?
Yeah. So yeah. And, well, speaking of updates, that's another thing that I find really interesting about the textbook approach is that, you know, every year, I mean, the textbook racket in North America, yeah. You know, like you have to buy version 2 or version 12 of this particular textbook because, you know,
one different paragraph,
the author changed his picture in the back or something. And yeah. This way, the cost of doing that, the cost of updating a book midterm, you know, updating a problem or updating a new research that's come out. Like, I mean, you imagine if you're in the sciences, I'm thinking more post-secondary than in like high school or something, but, you know, and something new comes out and, you want to, your textbook is actually now outdated because of this new discovery that happened.
Yeah. Or, you know, the Soviet Union, you know, ceased to exist.
Yeah.
And 15 countries now sprang out of one.
Yeah. So, yeah. Right? So you're like, oh, my geology, my books are now garbage. Yeah.
Yeah. So exactly. Yeah. So you know, that would be a really cool way to then update the book. Also, the cost for books. Now, some of them are more expensive. But
Doesn't iTunes University have all the books online now?
iTunes U is different than iBooks. So what they've done is iBooks is still there, but they've added a textbook section.
Okay.
So that's where they're encouraging people that are making textbooks to post their textbooks. They're also suggesting that people keep those textbooks to $14.99 and less. The other thing is the iTunes U, which is the third thing that they announced on Thursday. iTunes U has always been around. It's kind of been like this backwater thing in iTunes where you're like, huh, iTunes U, what's that? I've watched some Photoshop training stuff. You can certainly learn how to code for websites. There's lectures from MIT and Harvard, I think, and there's all these other different things you can check it online for free. Now, I mean, you don't get the degree. You're not certified because you didn't pay the tuition, but the information is there.
Yeah.
The cool thing about it now is that iTunes U has its own app. For the phone and for the iPad. And what that does is that it keeps all of your lectures in a separate section, a separate app on your phone, and it then integrates with the textbooks and the reading material that are then associated with that particular course. So say you're taking a coding course from MIT, the text, the PDF documents, the articles, all the kind of stuff that's associated with that course, you could then buy or download via iTunes you could download that via iBooks 2 from their textbook section for that course, and then all that kind of stuff is integrated. So while you're listening to this lecture, you can then flip open the bookshelf and the app kind of turns around, and then all of your reading material for that course is on the back, and then you open up the correct PDF that the guy lecturing is talking about, and you can go along and listen, especially if video is not a big deal. Like if you don't need to see something on the screen, then you can just kind of listen and read along. It's really, really interesting to see where things are going. Not to mention everything that you're doing in school weighs as much as an iPad.
Yeah.
You know, like that to me is just fantastic. Cause I remember my survey course in fine art from Mount A. I still have the book. It's about 3.5 inches thick. It's the size of a three-ring binder in terms of the actual face of it.
Disgusting.
It's got to weigh like 10 pounds. It's sick.
So if you get an iPad in grade 10 and you take that with you all through high school and then on through university, then it pays for itself with regards to books and just backpacks you're replacing.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
PDF files. I've done a couple distance learning courses with my job, and it's just the PDF files that you download make it so much easier. Like I can put them on, I can put them in iBooks if I wanted to read them on the go, you know, because you can read PDF files on iBook. And, you know, I'm sure you can get another app for that too, but just I didn't need to download anything new. I put it right in there and synced it with iTunes and easy. And I could read it on the plane. So,
yeah. Nice. Very cool. Well, I guess speaking of iTunes, we could always move on to what we've been listening to. Mine's actually going to be a pretty short list. I've been enjoying my jazz. I've got a small jazz collection of classic stuff from the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and I've been listening to that a lot while I've been drawing and working this week, just kind of as a break from what I normally listen to, and I've been really digging it. So any listeners out there, if you have a favorite classic blues or classic jazz artists that you would like to share with me, by all means do that, because I do need to I mean I have a lot of stuff, but I need to get some fresh stuff. I'm starting to whistle along, and I need to when you start whistling along to jazz, you know, you need to kind of at least change it up a little bit. And so the other thing that that I've been listening to, I'm still on the podcast kick. It seems to be Laura was teasing me and giving me a hard time on Sunday. She does a data processing type job. It's a lot of reading. It's a lot of being very into whatever it is that your task is at hand. So she can't really listen to non-music podcasts when she's at work, because the talking, like, she just can't process all that information at the same time that she's doing her job. So she was saying how jealous she is of me, because normally when I'm drawing, I'm listening to podcasts constantly. And it's a great way to kind of stay focused on what I'm doing, stay at the computer, not get distracted by, you know, Twitter or email and that kind of stuff. But I have finished the first season of FSL Tonight. We mentioned this on the show a little while ago. And you guys, absolutely, if you haven't at least caught up on the short little tidbits that they do throughout the season, it's just a short little like 10 or 15 minute podcast. But the last episode, episode 13, was their championship wrap up. And Tom and I can't remember his co-host name right now, they had Brian Brushwood and another guy on the show. The four of them sat around and they basically did like a post-game wrap-up, like that stuff that you see on TSN about this sports league with sci-fi and fantasy characters that they've made up. I was laughing my butt off. Some of the stuff that they're talking about, like Alderaan just really needs to get their act together. You know, I'm really expecting them to explode next season. Like, oh my, it's like a whole hour of, Justin Robert Young. Thank you. Chat room knows. Yay. Thank you. Chat room, is the other guy that's on that show. It's like listening to Death Star PR for an hour. It's so, so funny. You really have to check it out. It's fsltonight.com. And speaking of Tom Merritt and Brian Brushwood, they do a video podcast, also available in audio form, on the Twit Network called Framerate. And they basically talk about all the same stuff that we talk about on this show, which is really cool. They're into different television shows, so you're not going to get a lot of overlap. I'm only new to the show. I've only been watching it for a couple of weeks, but I really like it. It's pretty casual. They kind of sit on the couch at the Twit Network, and they talk about like the latest Doctor Who series or whatever it is that they're into. And what I like about it is that they talk a lot about cord cutting, like a lot about set-top boxes and Roku and Apple TV and Netflix and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Right,
so, Peyton, what have you been listening to?
Lately, just a little more of my old standards, Johnny Cash and stuff like that. For a while there, I was in a bit of a kick where I bought just everything I could find of his. So I've got, you know, seven albums or something like that. And they're quite fun. And my son has really, he'll be turning two next week, and he's really taken a liking to Johnny as well as a lot of the old country. Like, we'll be in the car and we'll be flicking through stations. We'll hit any hip hop, he'll be dancing or country or whatever. But he has a couple of toy guitars. My mother gave him one back in the summer, and it's this little tiny, probably about, I think, 12-inch long little ukulele plastic thing, and he'll pick it up and he'll start strumming it. And as soon as he starts strumming it, he has the most mournful look on his face, like he just cut his foot off or something. And he'll be like, bling, 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 you know, and he just tries like howling, singing, stuff like that, and it cracks me up. And then for this year, for Christmas, she gave him another guitar that has a, it's a little larger, it's more in the style of Guitar Hero, with the buttons on one end, but it actually has the wire strum, strings on it, and when you touch a string, it, you know, it just senses your hand there, and then it plays like a pre-recorded, you know, track of guitar music and stuff, and he'll get on that thing and wail to any country song you put on. It's the funniest thing, man. So the other day I had like Johnny Cash singing Cocaine Blues, and you know, took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down, and anyway, he was just going with it, so quite funny.
It took a minute to clue in there that you were quoting the song. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Well, and one of the things, a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I would have run. Yeah. That's where the mute button would come in anyway. But, yeah, no, he gets a big kick out of the Johnny. And one of the things I really like about Johnny Cash is that, you know, unlike some other songwriters, whenever he kills someone, he always, you know, he never gets away with it one way or the other. So, you know, he always ends up in jail or hung or something like that. But, you know, then you get Dixie Chicks with a song like Earl's Gotta Die.
Oh,
you know, and then they're all celebrating, you know, killing this guy. Meanwhile, you know, nice. Johnny goes ahead and, you know, shoots some woman, and, you know, he gets, yeah, it works. It works well, though.
Yeah. Anyway. Chad, what about you, sir? You gonna stick your neck out this week? Nothing?
Not this week, no. Well, I mean, it's part of the playlist. But no, I top 25 most played, top rated songs. I tend to stay in those. This week it's been a lot of like the old comfort songs, you know, the old tried and true, you know, favorites from, just put it on and play and just sing along, you know.
Nice.
My wife and I like to put music on in the background. My wife especially actually likes music in the background. So like in the kitchen, getting prepping for supper, doing dishes, or working around the house or anything. Oh, that's both of us.
You're painting a good picture there, man.
No, it's both of us. Trust me.
What's the music guy? Go clean the house.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, no, I put that on, and it's just my top 25 for most play. Top 25 and most played and top rated. Those are my two favorite tracks. Playlists that I tend to gravitate towards lately.
Right on. Yeah. Pretty cool.
And they're built right into iTunes. So.
Well, that that brings us neatly to what's going to be our last segment on the show. But we do have an email, and I wanted to make sure that I got to this. So I'll move on there now. If you'd like to email the show, you can send a message to thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. You can send us an email or a voicemail. Keep the voicemail to a minute if possible, and we'll play it on the show. I don't think we can play them on the live show just yet, but I will be able to at least put them in post. And if there is an audio call, we'll just listen to it before the show, so all of us are up to speed on what's going on. But Mr. R. Murphy from the chat room has sent us an email, and I thought I'd read that, and then we can get some feedback from the crew here, because it's akin to Peyton's story about his break-in from last week or the week before. And Ryan says, "Hello, Citadel Cafe crew. Caught the live stream of episode 4 and went back and downloaded the first 3 episodes. Loving the show. On episode 3, a discussion of break-ins came up. My mind immediately jumped into my first encounter with a break-in. My first year of university also marked my first time living in a city. Around 2 a.m. I was playing games when I heard some rustling in the front room. We had a main door and it was always locked, but prior to hitting the outside, there was an unheated front room with a crappy door that we never locked. Anyways, we had a freezer in the front room, and I was puzzled as to why one of my roommates was up getting a pizza pocket at this ungodly hour. I walked out of my room and to look out the front door and saw two homeless men, I could tell by the smell, going through our freezer. They ran immediately, and I was totally freaked out. Long story short, we woke up one of my roommates, decided to call the cops. Half an hour later, I'm reporting the value of stolen Hot Pockets and taquitos. We never left the front door unlocked after that. Sorry for the wall of text. Feel free to edit if needed. Keep up the good work." I didn't want to edit it because I thought it was a great email. So my first question, especially since Ryan happens to be in the chat room right now, what the hell are taquitos?
Deliciousness. Scrumptralescent deliciousness. That's what the taquitos are, with salsa.
I don't know salsa. What the hell they are. Are they? Is it? I mean, obviously, it's some sort of like Tex-Mex or something.
No, it's they're like a tortilla rolled up with like chicken and some like Tex-Mex things inside and cheese. They're deep fried and then they freeze them, you know, like, and you just pick them up at like Costco or in the freezer section. You just fire them in the oven for 20 minutes and pull them out, and they're like little appies or something. You're eating with wings and stuff like that. They're tortilla tube filled with cheese and meat. Delicious, scrumptrolescent.
What? James Lipton as done by Will Ferrell.
It's scrumptrolescent.
That's going on my wall of words like moist that I'm just never ever going to use.
Moist.
Peyton, you've met Chris, my former roommate from last year.
Yeah.
Whenever it was raining, that's how he came in and announced it was raining. He would just walk down the hall saying, "Well, it's quite moist outside." And it made me want to punch something. Like, I just was not my favorite moment of the day. And nice. I think he knew that, and that's why he did it. And
now every second Twitter tweet you get when it's raining is going to be moist.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Just as a note, people, that's a good way to not get followed back. Oh, boy.
My coat is quite moist on the outside.
Joel's not a fan of moisture. Okay.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, moving on to our last little segment here of what we've been looking at on the internet, what has caught our attention. Chad, you've got a lot of stuff going on here. What's your first pick?
Epic meal time. Funny. Have you guys watched this? Did you see? I posted it a couple of days ago.
I'm behind. I'm going to have to catch up.
Oh my god. It's these guys. The first one I posted in the show notes. These guys are in Montreal. And
they're Canadian? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're right out of Montreal.
That's awesome.
And I guess Buddy used to be a school teacher too, the main guy. And Joel, it's not funny because you haven't watched it yet. Once you watch it, you'll go, "What?" But it's funny, Joel, because you see how it says segue down there in the show notes? For everybody that can't see me pointing at the computer screen, I'm pointing at the show notes. This whole thing. But anyway,
totally see you pointing at the screen. That's great.
The first YouTube link is called Fast Food Lasagna. And they go to McDonald's, Wendy's, and A&W. Oh, Wendy's is 15 Big Macs. A&W is 15 teen burgers with no vegetables. And Wendy's is 15 Baconators. Then they make their own meat sauce with generous helpings of bourbon. They like their booze.
As well as Jack Daniel.
And Jack Daniels, yeah. And then they basically make a lasagna out of the burgers, plus bacon. They love to make bacon. And they put tons of and they count the calories as they're putting it together, and they put it in, and it's unbelievable. And it's all on YouTube. They've got like 10 million hits on probably about 5 or 8 of their videos.
That one video has 12,800,000 hits.
Unbelievable. And it's so ridiculous. And there's the crew of them. He's got his buddies, and they sit there and they eat it at the end. And they're all their own little individual personalities too. Like, each guy has a different T-shirt that they wear, and one guy's is muscles. And in the second video I have posted, they meet up with FPS Russia. And Joel, that's the guy that did that 40mm heavy machine gun.
Nice. Oh yes,
that's him. They're both like YouTube celebrities, and that's what. And then the second video is they make some ridiculous thing there with him. But when they're eating it, the FPS Russia guy takes a big spoonful of it with his pistol, like a Desert Eagle, and he like eats it off the Desert Eagle. And the guy beside him pulls out a knife and uses the knife to eat it. So then the FPS Russia guy takes his knife and breaks the bottle. And then scoops it with the broken bottle out and eats it off the broken bottle. Like, they're ridiculous, these guys. And what comes out of their mouth can be vulgar. It's hilarious. They do say a few things that, you know, it's a little might offend a few people.
So, but not safe for work.
No, not up loud. Headphones definitely, but not up out loud. But they pull up to one of the fast food joints. He's like, 15 cheeseburgers, no veg. The girl's like, you said, because in Montreal, everybody's bilingual, right? Like, but a lot of them are more one or the other. So if they get a more French person, he goes, 15 Big Macs, no veg. And then she's like, you want what? 15 Big Macs. Did you say you want veggies? No, no veg. And then he looks at the camera like, are you stupid? And it's just they pull up, and then they pulled up, and the girl opened the window, and she goes, oh. And she goes, it's you. And she goes, burgers. And just they do ridiculous things. They made candy pizza, candy pizza or something like that. And they took cookie dough, like Pillsbury cookie dough, and mashed it together and made a crust, and then put bacon. Candied bacon, YouTube money. Anyway, they put that in the crust and made it like a stuffed crust, bacon candied. And they put like gummy worms on it. And
I think I've seen one of these videos before. I think I've seen the one where they didn't they do like a turducken and then they put it inside of a pig or something?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it. These are ridiculous.
Cool. Anyways, I'll have to check it out.
We need to do turducken sometime soon.
We do. Anyway. Yeah, it's too bad that we didn't get a chance to do that over the holidays. It's just a little bit too busy. But yeah. maybe the spring. Chad, are you going to be home this spring?
No, probably not.
No, okay. All right. So we'll have to sort that out sometime soon.
Epic meal time. FPS Russia. FPS Russia, guys. He just does crazy things with guns. And it's hilarious. And he talks. I'm a professional. I'm a professional Russian. What? Because that's different. Anyway, he took his APC through a McDonald's drive-thru with a 50 caliber machine gun on top.
Nice.
Okay.
Oh man.
What are you guys watching?
Peyton, go ahead, sir.
Just two things. Just little notes. One was DC. They've been in the news a lot lately with their entire reshifting of their universe for the comics and all that stuff, the restarting of everything. And they've also changed the logo and a couple of things like that. But another thing that they're doing, which actually is quite good, is I got an email from them a while ago from one of the lists that I'm on, and it's marketed like, we can be heroes and, join the Justice League and all this stuff. But they've actually committed to matching 100% dollar for dollar donations to help the drought and famine on the Horn of Africa. So the website itself is joinwecanbeheroes.org, and any monies that would be donated. I know this is a bit of a plug, but it's just a good thing.
I thought
it would be good. So there's three different organizations within that that would get the funds equally: Save the Children, International Rescue Committee, and Mercy Corps. Anyway, so there's a link to that in the show notes, and I think it's pretty neat that they're matching dollar for dollar. So if you're, looking to make a donation anyway to something like that, it could be a good way of doing it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so it's, it's something nice they're doing. And then on a completely different lighter note, or lighter air, there's been some interesting movie tie-ins that I saw on a website. And it is a fragrance tie-in. There's a company called Jads International, JADS International, and they make a cologne based off things like Star Trek or, more recently, The Avengers. So if you want to smell like Thor, or if you ever wonder what it would smell like to be Iron Man, being trapped in a suit of armor all day, you can now smell like Thor or Iron Man. Or, Captain America or Sulu. There's actually a cologne called Sulu, another one called Tiberius, and Red Shirt. I'm not quite sure what Red Shirt would smell like. Red Shirt was killed, right?
Smells like death, I can imagine.
Red Shirt is probably a very forgettable fragrance.
Yeah, very forgettable. It smells like water.
Did somebody just walk through the room? I smell. What? Oh, look at that.
Yeah, squirrel. Shiny.
Squirrel. Yeah,
they also have a Slave Leia perfume as well as a Lando Calrissian, which is brilliant, right?
Lando Calrissian. Yeah. Oh, yeah, well held.
Yeah.
Classy and stylish. A potent mix of mandarin warmed with incense and lotus flower, exotic woods, dark violet, and sensuous musk.
Uh-huh.
No thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, hey,
I'm not a big fan of collodes and that. And when I saw this ad, like, it just made me think, like, you know, douche, just a complete douchebag, you know. And you know, there was a club, a local club here in town, that people who would wear immense amounts of cologne would congregate. And there was so much cologne in this club that in the male washroom there was an actual cologne dispenser in case you forgot your cologne. I'm like, that's ridiculous. I'm leaving here right now.
Anyway. Joel, do you remember my tweet from a few weeks ago about I smell like I rubbed a sweaty leprechaun all over my body? Irish spring clean.
Yeah.
Right.
Sweaty leprechauns.
So those are my internet grabs. Joel, what's new with you?
I've only got one. I found that a lot of my stuff seems to overlap. But one of the things, the very last thing that I pulled away from the CES show, and I think it wasn't actually part of it. I think it was just kind of like announced at the same time, was the new e-Bugster, which is the new Volkswagen Bug. It's an electric concept car. There's a link to the reveal video on YouTube. I'm actually pretty sure that Brian Dunaway from Comics Coast to Coast put this on Google Plus, and that's how I found it. It is electric, for the lack of a better descriptor. It looks like Tron. It's like if Tron could drive down the road, Volkswagen is going to try it. And on top of how cool the car looks and functions, the fact that it's, zero emission, or you can get it in like different kind of hybrid types and stuff like that. It's so cool to see stuff like this starting to be mainstream, starting to be things that people want. They need to make it more affordable. I mean, this is just a concept thing. There's no price tag attached to it that I found, but it's a little short minute and a half video, totally worth watching.
Yeah,
totally worth watching. I mean, yeah, you don't even need the volume up. Just watching the lights and how it's got like LEDs that kind of trace the body of the car. So like when I say Tron, I'm not kidding. Like it really looks like it could be a light cycle grid type of vehicle. And I mean, I would totally drive one of these. And Chad, you were saying that it's actually Audi technology.
Well, because Audi or VW is like, well, Audi is the Lexus of Toyota, you know, like Audi's the next step up kind of thing for Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just like goes back to the 50s with Cadillac and then Chevs. Like Cadillac had power windows, and then eventually as years go by, that technology filters down into the lower end stuff, right? So like that's why there's power windows in all of our regular vehicles now, right? Mm-hmm. And all these technologies, they filter down with the starts at the high end, and it gets cheaper and cheaper as they produce more and more. And the lights, that's all in Audi. The dashboard now looks a lot like Audi, but like you said, it's a concept, so we won't see most of that in the production version. But I hope that, I love those LEDs where the headlights are for the daytime running lights. I love that look. I love it, and it looks just like an Audi from the front in the dark. If you can't see the VW, I think it looks just like an Audi.
Nice.
Yeah. Audi or a little bit of a Porsche sort of stance.
Exactly. Yeah, German. Yeah. Very German, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Right on. Well, that that brings us to the end of a huge episode of the Citadel Cafe.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. There's even not a whole lot of editing happening. I think, adding in a segment about the Game of Thrones, I think will take us to probably closer to an hour and a half or more each week. But we also had a lot to talk about. It's been busy on the internet the last little while. If you would like to email the show, send us a line at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, as I mentioned. And don't forget that Twitter hashtag, which is the Winter is Coming TCC, if you want to talk about the Game of Thrones. I'd like to take a moment to thank Jocelyn from the Gamers Inn for doing our show notes. You can find the Gamers Inn podcast at gamersinpodcast.com. Her and her co-host Ryan do a new gaming show over there. It's worth a listen. I really enjoy it. Despite the fact that I'm not a big gamer, it's actually a very entertaining show. So please go check that out. You can also find the show blog. TheCitadelCafe.com is where I post new episodes, little tidbits about the show. Sometimes I find an odd YouTube video I want to share with people, and I will put it all up there. The Citadel Cafe on Twitter. Also like our Facebook page. We don't have a handle yet, but you can find us by name, The Citadel Cafe. And we will, of course, grab that handle as soon as we have enough likes. So go, like us, make us feel important. And of course, one of the best ways for our podcast to reach new listeners is via the reviews in the iTunes store. We don't have any this week, but if you like the show, give us a rating, leave us a review, and we might share your thoughts on the next episode. Insert review here. Well, I am Joel Duggan. I do an online webcomic called Starcrossed at starcrossedonline.com. That's also where you can find just about anything that I'm up to on the internet these days. You can also follow me personally on Twitter and Google Plus with just my name, Joel Duggan. Peyton, where can people find you online?
CardboardTreehouse.com and on Twitter at Peyton Francis, P-A-T-O-N, Francis, and Facebook and other places. So.
And Mr. Merlin, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Chad Merlin.
Fantastic. You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe. We're fast, we're easy, and you're cheap, but I have to do that again. Blah, 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 blah. Yay, awesome. Yay. That's going in the outtake.
Way to insult the audience. Fast, and easy, and you're cheap.
It's late. I'm tired. Oh, boy. All right.
I'm picking easy and cheap this week.
Yeah. All right. Give me a second. You've been listening.
Sorry, man. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right.
Three times.
You've been listening to the Citadel Cafe. We're fast, we're easy, and we're cheap, but you can only pick two.
Easy and cheap.
And for the lip readers in the audience, I love to vacuum.